Go ahead and get started. It's 10:29. I'll cheat by 1 minute. So are you all in the right place? We're here to talk about artificial intelligence in B2B selling. You'll notice that some of what I cover is going to also be in the realm of marketing because the lines are blurring between marketing and sales. So for those of you that maybe haven't met me already, I'm Bernie Borges. I'm CMO of a company called Vengresso. And the reason, the why behind this, the reason that this is a topic that's important to me and my company is that we're a service provider. We work with B2B companies and we help them improve their ability to sell more effectively in this digital economy that we live in. And so it's all about people, process, and technology, and AI is technology, so it's important to us. So that's kind of a little bit about the why. So what I'll start out is with a little bit of a history lesson on artificial intelligence. And if you look at this picture and I ask you, pop quiz, you know, who is this gentleman? I'm not going to ask you for show of hands. His name is Alan Turing. And in 1950, he published a paper where he asked the question, can machines think? He's actually credited in the history books as being the father of modern computing. He's recognized as really being the first scientist to actually write an algorithm that was essentially the foundation upon which algorithms grew to become, to really inspire and generate the entire age of computers. He was just before his time. So I want you to remember this point that he actually asked in 1950 the question, can machines think? And that is essentially what artificial intelligence is. So if you look at what a traditional algorithm is in computing, it's basically a set of instructions and it tells the computer, if something happens, then do that. So in the world of marketing and sales, for example, when someone visits your website and they fill out a form, you can say, if someone fills out a form from New York City, then send them these three drip emails and assign it to one of these reps who's associated or assigned to New York City. That is a simple algorithm in traditional computing. In the world of artificial intelligence, what we're basically doing is we are teaching computers to think. And that's a powerful thing to even think about because up until recently, this concept of thinking was limited to humans. So fundamentally, you know, I was asking many of you, some of you just walked in, but I was asking many of you, you know, what is your experience with artificial intelligence? And most of you said, you know, you're just kind of getting started. That's an important concept to just start with and understand that artificial intelligence is the premise that we can teach machines to think and then drive actions for us. I'm going to dive deeper into that in the context of B2B selling, but it's also a little bit of blurred with marketing as well. So this video here is 55 minutes long, and no, I'm not going to click it or play it, but if you want a really awesome video documentary that explains artificial intelligence, shows you use cases across a variety of different industries, this is an awesome video. I've done my homework. I've looked at many, 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 many videos, and this is an awesome one right here. So you can see the URL there. Of course, you're going to have access to all these presentations, so you'll have access to this. I just encourage you to watch that video if you really want to dive deeper into it. You know, if I showed you a picture of a famous athlete like Tom Brady or Michael Phelps, the famous Olympian, then, you know, LeBron James, all these famous athletes, we know them as famous here in the United States, but do you know this guy here? Now, he's not an athlete, but he is famous in China. He is the world champion in the game of Go. Now, how many of you are familiar with the game of Go? Most of us here in the West are not Go players. Well, in the Far East, in Asian countries, Go is huge. I'm talking kids who show a talent for Go are pulled out of school and they just go to Go school, no pun intended. They just attend school to learn how to play the game of Go. It is a game, a board game, as you can see, and it's both computational and intuitive in the way that you play it. Now, I'm going to blow your mind. The possible combinations of moves in a game of Go exceeds, and this is, even saying it is mind-blowing, the possible combinations in the game of Go exceeds the number of atoms in the planet. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so why am I sharing this with you? Like, what's the reason for this? Well, here's the reigning champ, the world reigning champ, and a machine powered by artificial intelligence was put up against him and beat him 4 out of 5 games. And what was fascinating about that was that many of the moves that the machine made were considered by Go experts to be unorthodox, very questionable, very like, why did the machine just do that? But yet 4 out of 5 times, the machine beat Lee Sedol. This feat was considered a minimum of 5 years ahead of his time, or ahead of the time of this machine. And it was done by Google DeepMind. DeepMind is a company that was acquired by Google over in the UK. So the reason for this, in the context of this presentation, is to give you an understanding and some impression, if you will, for what is possible, the potential. Because as I go deeper into my presentation, I'm going to be sharing with you examples of technology that's available today that are using artificial intelligence in different sales use cases. But I also want you to know that we're just getting started, and the potential is mammoth. The potential is almost unfathomable when you just, you know, look at examples like that. And there are many other examples. So if you look at just the types of AI, this is a simplistic approach to it. I kind of anticipated that most people in this session, you know, would be in the early stages of learning about artificial intelligence. So, you know, it can go deeper than this, but simply stated, the 3 types of artificial intelligence would be machine learning, where you're interacting with a machine. And the word machine, by the way, is not limited to a physical machine. It can be just an app, okay? And that's just called a machine, right? Like the app that beat Lee Sedol in Go was not a machine, it was an app. So as you use it, it learns. And a really famous example of this is the DeepMind people, where they left at night at 5 or 6 at night a machine, an application playing against a video game, and the first few times it lost, and they just let it run overnight. And they came in the next morning, and it kept, you know, played all night. And it just learned so much that it was winning every game, because it just learns. So machine learning is, you know, probably the most common form of AI. Another form of machine learning is deep learning. Not going to get into too much of that. A simple example that we're seeing today is in healthcare, where healthcare organizations are using deep learning for things like cancer oncology projects, you know, scanning millions of images to, you know, to diagnose cancer and help oncologists, you know, do their job better. And then recognition of both language and images. Very common, and we've got lots of use cases for that even today. Now, we're using AI every day, and AI really is becoming like electricity. Like, we don't see electricity, we don't touch electricity, but we know when we don't have it, right? We know when there's a power outage. And so AI is already pervasive. We use it in these apps. Netflix attributes 75% of their revenue to recommendations that have been made to the consumer based on your behavior. So it's learning how you behave, what your interests are, and it's following. Even when you deviate, you know, it's learning what those paths are. This is an image of the sales stack. There's roughly 700 companies on this sales stack. Now, the interesting thing about this is 2 things. One is the number, 700 companies that are in this image of companies that sell sales technology. The other interesting thing about it is that very few of the companies that are on here are big name companies. You've got a few, Salesforce probably being the biggest, and then maybe, you know, an IBM, an SAP, and an Oracle who sell sales technology, a little bit more on the marketing side than sales. And then, and of course, it's an eye chart. You can't read it from here. And there's a link to the blog post where the entire image is available. So the main point is that most of the companies that are on this chart are new startups. And so there's a ton of funding and a ton of activity going on. If you visit most of these companies, most of them are in the range of 2 to 5 years old. And each of them are growing. This is actually one of my favorite points. I'm not going to read it to you, but here's the point to this is, why is AI growing so rapidly now, when as far back as 1950, you had Alan Turing asking the question, can machines think? So while you read this chart to yourself, I'll tell you this quick story. I was watching an interview with a scientist from MIT, And he made the point, he said, you know, I have been studying AI and doing AI projects for 25 years. And he said, up until 2 years ago, nobody cared. And that is because all the moons have aligned and these reasons here, and probably the biggest one is cheap computing power. Cheap and powerful computing power actually now gives us the ability to harness AI technology, to really harness the ability to think. Things like IBM Watson being able to consume the US tax code, which is 60,000 pages of information. Now, there isn't a human on the planet that can consume 60,000 pages, especially of the tax code, but IBM Watson did, and it gives H&R Block the ability to go in and ask any question and get the answer, but in an intelligent way, not just in a black and white way, with recommendations and that kind of thing. So it's growing rapidly, and the pace of growth of AI is staggering. Now, there are lots of topics that are beyond the scope of this presentation. The most common topic, and I'm happy to chat with you maybe over lunch or whatever later today, I'll be here through the rest of the day, is the impact on jobs. I certainly comment on that in the context of sales, but beyond that, you know, it's a lunch conversation. So what I'm going to do the rest of my presentation is I'm going to dive into some examples. So everything I've discovered with you so far is sort of setting the stage for what I want to share with you now. And I'm going to dive into some examples of use cases. Two disclaimers that I want to share with you. One is that if you look at those four use cases, right? Personalization, scheduling, chat, account-based selling, and predictive. The truth is, most of the examples that I'm going to share with you overlap. It's not a black and white, you know, quadrant sort of thing. So you'll see that there's a lot of overlap. And then the next disclaimer is that I'm going to show you a bunch of products. None of these are products that I'm endorsing or recommending or have any kind of specific, you know, relationship with. They are representative samples of AI technology that's available in B2B sales today. So the first category we'll look at is personalization and scheduling. So on the screen here, you see reference to CenturyLink. So CenturyLink happens to be the company that's using Conversica. Conversica is an AI-based software product. And what Conversica does, if you see if you notice on the right, there's an ad that happens to be on LinkedIn. This ad is in my feed every single day. Once they discovered that I have some interest in AI, they're giving me this ad every single day. Notice what they're saying. Meet your new assistant, Rachel, and she's 100% artificial. So the two things that they're telling you is that it's artificial, but they're also humanizing it. They're personifying it, they're giving it a name. And so what Conversica does is you feed into Conversica a whole bunch of leads. So think of a B2B scenario where you've been to trade shows and there's been webinars and there's been email campaigns and then maybe there's been turnover in the sales organization. You might have hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of old or cold or dead leads. Now, it is completely impractical to hand over any of those to a human, to a salesperson, and say, oh, here's people who went to our trade show 1 year ago. We've had no contact with them. Why don't you take the next month and just try to reach them? That is such a waste of that person's time, although it happens. That happens. So Conversica is a product that you actually feed all that data in any kind of volume, big volume, right? And then it'll do something like this. And I know that this is probably impossible to read, so I'm going to actually read it for you. So remember, you're feeding in a bunch of leads into Conversica, and you're giving it some parameters, some rules, like, hey, you know, this was a trade show or a webinar, that kind of thing. So an email is sent in volume, remember, lots of leads. And it reads, hey, Ben, I noticed that you downloaded our free trial. Would you like to set up an appointment to talk to one of our sales experts? Ben eventually responds because you know what Ashley is doing? Was that her name? Ashley? No, Rachel. You know what Rachel's doing? Rachel continues to follow up. And it's not the exact same email. There's a little bit of a tweak every time. Okay? So we've all been on the receiving end of those emails from real people. Hey, just in case you missed that email I sent you last week, or hey, just, you know, want to check back with you. Hey, I know you're busy, whatever, right? So Rachel is doing that. And so finally, Ben responds, hey, sorry, Rachel, I've been traveling on vacation. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I would like to schedule a demo. And so she responds, hey, great, I'm going to introduce you to Rick. And then Rachel says, is this the best phone number to reach you at? Now, Rachel, remember, Rachel is artificial. Rachel went to the CRM, pulled out the phone number associated with this person, and said, is this the best phone number to reach you at? And Ben replies back, no, I never checked that phone number. Have Rick call me at this number. And then that number is passed along to Rick. And then sometime later, Rachel follows up with Ben and says, hey, I just want to make sure you connected with Rick. And Ben, the prospect, says, yep, we connected. We had a demo, and he's putting a quote together for me. All of that can happen in volume. And if you look at this case study here, and again, there's a link to this video, they are getting a 20-to-1 return. And in their case, you know, they actually humanize it. I don't know that they're using the name Rachel. You have to watch the video. I think it's a different name. They actually refer to this sales assistant by name. So they're not even referring to it as technology. They're humanizing it, but they're feeding leads into it, and they're getting a tremendous return on that. Time Trade is another product. It is a product that is using Salesforce Einstein. And what it does is it is looking at activities within Salesforce, and then it's making recommendations and then seeking to schedule an appointment. So taking the time away from the salesperson to schedule the appointment and instead doing the scheduling. So what it does is it uses AI to score leads, and then the sales team can prioritize those leads by lead score. And then they, you know, you put some rules in, and then ultimately the end result is a scheduled appointment with a salesperson. So just another example. Now this again is sitting on top of Salesforce Einstein. Time Trade is a company whose flagship product is around scheduling appointments anyway, and now they're using AI to harness that. So the next category that I want to look at is chat. I'm going to fly through a few examples here, because I want to spend a little bit of time on one of them in particular. HubSpot has recently acquired a company called Motion AI for chat. I haven't seen examples of it yet from HubSpot. It's still kind of a work in progress. Looking for that, I checked this morning. This is an interesting example, and what fascinates me about Drift is that it makes it really easy for any one of us to go to their website and actually sign up for a plan. So the thought of building a bot, a chat bot, does that not conjure up programming and complexity? Well, here's a vendor, and full disclosure, I haven't tested it, but there's lots of credible endorsements associated with it. So you go to the website, and their premise is that, you know, normally we ask someone to fill out a form, and then we take some time to respond to that form. Well, a chat that can be in real time, have a real time conversation when someone's on your website right here and now, that can be a great way to start a sales conversation and capture that and hand it off to sales. So Drift is a company that I think fascinates me in the way that they're doing that. The next category, and this is very, very B2B, is account-based selling. Y'all familiar with the term account-based selling? That's the concept of, you know, you've got a sales team, you've got target accounts that you want to get into. Typically, there's multiple personas within those accounts that you need to work for a deal. A typical deal might take 3 months, 12 months, 24 months, whatever. It's a good size deal, so you've got to really work in the account among multiple people. So LinkedIn Sales Navigator is currently, first of all, LinkedIn Sales Navigator is widely recognized as an enterprise tool. It is a paid tool, it's not free. Anybody in here using LinkedIn Sales Navigator? A couple of you? Okay. So basically what you're seeing here is it recognizes, because of the nature of the kind of people that I want to interact with, because of the nature of our service offering, it spans sales, it spans marketing, and in some cases, because we do employee advocacy work, it spans HR. So what LinkedIn Sales Navigator is doing is it's recommending not just people from one persona, because of my behavior that it's following, it's recognizing a broader spectrum of people that might be relevant for me to contact. So it's showing a chief marketing officer, a director of product marketing, and a chief human resource officer as a recommendation, just based on the fact that, you know, we have this connection right here with Sameer. Now, in the case of LinkedIn Sales Navigator, this is an example. LinkedIn is an example of a brand that currently, and this may change, currently isn't really talking a lot about AI. I'm not saying it's zero, but they're not really kind of leading with AI in their product. They're just delivering their product, and then in interviews, it kind of comes out that, you know, they're using AI. And then one of the original founder, Reid Hoffman, has recently announced that he's leading up an effort to dive deeper into AI at LinkedIn. Chorus.ai, what's interesting about Chorus is that they monitor phone conversations for salespeople, and they monitor the talk-listen ratio. So sales leadership can look at this, can study this, and they can see how their salespeople are having conversations with prospects and customers, and then correlate that back to success, productivity with those salespeople, and they've got these data points here to help them gauge the success of those salespeople based on talk-listen ratios and some other parameters that it provides. Well, Salesforce Einstein, I just mentioned, I gave the example with Timetrade. They're sitting on top of Salesforce Einstein. Salesforce Einstein itself is a layer within Salesforce. It was announced about a year ago, and it was their first big splash into an AI module within Salesforce. And here's a company called Sika. They sell to commercial construction companies. So very finite, you know, total available market is just a few thousand companies that are in commercial construction. So what Salesforce Einstein is doing is it is helping them navigate within those companies by identifying people that they should go talk to based on the behavior of those people. And by behavior, I mean what those people are doing online, not limited to what they're doing on LinkedIn or what they're doing on the company's website, but what they're doing in social media channels, which can include LinkedIn, it can include Twitter, it can include likes and comments and that sort of thing. I'm going to elaborate on that in just a moment with another company here. So this one, I don't know that much about Node.io, but what got my attention is that Mark Cuban is an investor in this company. This company has raised, I think, $16 million in a short period of time. And the premise, as I understand it, is that they're identifying, just like we have a network, and LinkedIn can show you your network. Well, what about your network outside of LinkedIn in terms of who you're connected to within an industry? Node.io, as I understand it, is using AI to identify other companies that you should be calling on and people within those companies. And this is outside the walls of LinkedIn. To describe that within LinkedIn Sales Navigator sounds natural, but to do that outside the walls of LinkedIn is where a company like Node.io comes in. So Demand Graph, or Demand Base rather, is the name of the company. They are a leader, perhaps even recognized as the leader in account-based marketing. And again, I said at the beginning of my presentation here that marketing and sales, the lines are blurring. So everything we're seeing here, especially, and this is a good example, where Demand Base, again, the company, announced about a year ago, give or take, their Demand Graph, where they have the ability to bring in data that is what's called as unstructured data. Now, I know it's kind of a technical term. If you think of what structured data is data that lives in a database, right? Name, first name, last name, company, email, and any other data that's stored in any database. That's called structured because it's stored in a database. Unstructured data is when someone tweets or retweets, likes, comments, that kind of thing. It's out on the web. It's not stored in a database anywhere. It's unstructured. Well, Demand Graph, the Demand Graph is an example, a visual example of how Demand Base is using AI to actually bring those two together and then harness insights into a selling organization so that selling organization, from an account-based selling standpoint, might say, oh, the CFO, you know, he's having conversations with, you know, this CFO of this company here, and she's a customer, so therefore you know, there's now a recommendation to go talk to this CFO because he's talking to this CFO and she's already using their technology, and that's an insight that you wouldn't otherwise get. So from a sales standpoint, that can be hugely valuable. And if you look at some of these quotes here, you know, the value is the combination of sophisticated AI, advanced machine learning techniques, and a deep understanding of B2B sales processes to solve very complex challenges previously done only by humans. Now, I'm going to take you back to the example of DeepMind, where the machine learned overnight how to beat a video game, just as an example. Now, transfer that capability into something like what he is saying here. We're using advanced machine learning techniques and a deep understanding of B2B sales processes to solve very complex challenges previously unable to be handled by people. And when you think about how, think about also that scientist that I mentioned who said that he's been working on AI for 25 years, but until 2 years ago, nobody cared. All of a sudden, it's cool. All of a sudden, it's everybody's talking about it, and now we've got, you know, all these companies on that that eye chart that I showed you that are delivering AI products because all the moons have aligned. The technology is now available to not only build these products at scale, but to implement them at scale. So here's a product from Rolio that allows you to... What it helps you do is it helps you get data into your CRM. One of the biggest problems that sales organizations have is getting information into the CRM. Salespeople want to be talking and selling, not doing data entry into a CRM. So Rolio is a system that allows you to capture information more easily through natural language recognition, where you can talk to it and then get that data into your CRM system. All right, so now we're going to look at the use case of predictive. Let me just see how I'm doing on time here. And I go to 11:10. All right. So in the area of predictive, HubSpot has made another acquisition recently and focusing on, you know, helping salespeople better understand their prospective buyers, who those buyers are. Crystal is a tool that has a free version. I use Crystal. So if I'm going to have a meeting with someone, I can look them up on Crystal and let me back up. If I'm going to have a meeting with someone I've never met before, but I've set up a meeting, Crystal will give me insights into that person. Tell me about their personality, you know, how they like to engage with people, you know, the kinds of things that they engage on. So, and then on a daily basis, it'll just tell you, hey, here's who you're meeting with today. Here's what's on your calendar. Here's some things about these people that you might want to know about. Nudge.ai is a little bit similar to that. It also has a free version, and it's got a plugin for Google Mail. So when I'm going to go send an email to someone, on the right-hand side, this actually just lists vertically, right? But from a screenshot standpoint, I had to put them side by side. So I'm going to send an email to this gentleman here. It brings him up on the right-hand side. It brings up his contact information. And it also brings up his recent social media activity and any activity that he has been engaging on in a public domain digital fashion. So now I can gain insights into what he's been behaving, what he's been doing recently, and I can build lists any way I want, whether it's by product, by industry, by persona, whatever. You can completely custom build your own list, and then before you go meet with someone or call someone or reach out to someone, you can check that what they're currently doing using Nudge.ai. And again, that's got a free version that I use. This is a product that does not have a free version. It's an enterprise version. It's from a company called CaliberMind. They say something that I think is brilliant. In a big company, an enterprise company, you've got a lot of data, and oftentimes marketers and sales leaders struggle with organizing all that data to really market effectively and generate leads effectively. So what CaliberMind does is it helps a company collect all the dots to connect all the dots. I'm going to repeat that. It's really, I think, a brilliant thing. If you just, you know, let that sink in for a moment. You have to collect all the dots before you can connect all the dots. And this really applies to enterprise. So if you're a mid to enterprise company and you've got silos of data all over the place, then it's very common to struggle with connecting all the dots associated with that information, all those data silos, right? So how do you market to customers if, if you've got data spread all over the place? And so here's a nice quote from a CMO who's a user of this technology, saying that, you know, they can understand their buyer's behavior more effectively using this technology. AI-powered prospecting, a company called Artesian. Notice that other than Salesforce is the only, and LinkedIn, Salesforce and LinkedIn, all these other names are recent startups. They're young companies. They're not, you know, the big names, and that's what we're seeing. So we've got AI-powered prospecting. This is a tool that basically is all about helping you get ready for the meeting. So as you're prospecting and you want to set up a meeting, this is a tool that helps you understand who the people are, what they've been doing recently, so you can be prepared for that meeting. People.ai is a tool for sales leaders. It identifies how your people are performing in their sales activities. It displays it visually so that the sales leaders can see exactly what's going on. It provides insight, activity insights, and coaching. And so again, from a sales leadership standpoint, you can see how your salespeople are actually performing against their sales activities. I know that I'm fire hosing you with a lot of technologies. The purpose of me doing that is to, for you to walk out of here saying, okay, I've got some understanding of what's available today and what the potential is. And, you know, just like buckle up, because every day it's just more and more opportunities. It's really, really exciting. Here's a product called Joy. And Joy allows you to basically build a playbook for accounts. So you feed it data about an account that you're trying to sell to, and then Joy will kind of give back to you a playbook on how to approach that account based on some information that you fed it, and then it goes out and looks online through other data sources, and then comes back and makes recommendations on scripts, how to approach them, pain points that they might have, etc. Social sales at scale. So this is a company called Kick Factory, and they combine the power of artificial intelligence and people by identifying what people are actually saying online through tweets, for example, and then companies that engage with them. Well, let me back up. It identifies what people are saying online that might represent buying signals for a brand. Then it feeds that over to people, humans, and they will go through it, and then they'll determine which of these activities are real activities and are real signals that are real buying signals and potential leads, potential new customers. So that's from Kick Factory, and actually Scott Lewis, the CEO, is sitting in the back checking me out. And he's got a presentation coming up at what time, Scott? 11? Next one, yeah, on artificial intelligence. So check that out. Narrow, this is interesting. Narrow is, let me see if I can make this happen here I think we're good on time. So Narrow is an app that you can feed a URL. You put a URL into the Narrow app, and it will take that URL, and let's say that URL is an article, and we're all busy. There's more content online than we have time to read. Narrow converts that into a voice. So it reads it, translates it into a voice, and then you listen to it through a mobile device. So for example, I'm going to play just a few seconds of an article that I uploaded into Narrow, and I'm going to put it up to the microphone here. Hopefully you can hear it.
The Core 7 team was developing the platform and algorithm and ready to go further. But thus far, Dome has been left to study AI from the outside. Dome still believes he's on the path.
I don't know if you could hear that. I was hoping the mic would pick it up. So the idea basically is that you could use this for training. You could use this for competitive insights. There's a lot of different ways that you can just take any kind of article that lives on a URL, feed it into this, and then Narrow will translate that into a voice that can be played back at any time. So as I get close to the end of my session here, Couple takeaways that, actually three takeaways that I think you should be thinking about. One is, I recommend that you start with what's available for free, and I've given you a few examples of what's available for free, so that you know, you're not investing unnecessarily or too risky on the front end. When you are ready to make some investments, I recommend that you collaborate very closely with marketing. And I think most of you, if not all of you, are marketing, right? So I would flip that and say collaborate with sales. Make sure this is a sales and marketing initiative. And then make sure that you start with a pilot. Don't try to do too much. I've seen many companies try to take on too much and either have some failure or get started too slowly. Just start small with a group of salespeople, depending on the size of your sales organization, and start with a use case that's gonna have buy-in from both marketing and sales, and also the C-suite executives as well. And do remember that AI truly is the new electricity. I wanna leave you with what I believe is tomorrow's intelligent lead assignment system. Here's what it looks like. A lead comes in to an organization from any call to action, anywhere. There's intelligent technology that's AI powered, and it identifies the best match within that company to follow up on that lead. Now, key point here, the best match is gonna be anybody in that company, not limited to sales, just anybody. And the best match might be for any number of reasons. Maybe they went where they went to school, where they live, what personal or professional interests they have. There's a dashboard, and it tells the salesperson the top 3 to 5 matches within the company that are the best matches. The salesperson is looking at this on a dashboard. The salesperson then assigns that lead to one of the matches. So that individual, maybe it's an engineer in a different location in the world, and for whatever reason, the system matched them up as the best match. And now that engineer gets assigned this lead. That person, let's call that person the subject matter expert, either accepts or rejects. So if he or she rejects it, the salesperson goes to the next one on the list. Now, I don't have time to get into it, but you can begin to see sort of the cultural ramifications in an organization. That means that everybody in the company needs to understand that this is part of the methodology and how they sell. And they have to be on board with that. They have to actually probably opt in to being on the receiving end of this. So the SME accepts or rejects it, and then the SME selects some action to take that was intelligently identified by the system so that you make it as easy as possible on that subject matter expert, because they're probably not in sales. It's not their job to be selling. So it literally should just be click here to send this white paper or this email, and if they want to personalize it, they can personalize it, but they don't have to. The system's going to make it very, very easy for them. And the sales rep stays informed throughout this entire process as that whole chain of communication just continues to evolve. And the salesperson then decides when he or she engages with that lead. So the role of the salesperson changes. The way that we communicate with prospects changes, the culture within an organization changes. So it's really, really a big, big implication. How far away is this? I honestly have no idea. My speculation is a year or two. And honestly, it could be here today, and it hasn't hit my inbox yet, or it hasn't hit my alerts yet, you know what I mean? The pace of this technology, its growth, its acceleration is just staggering. Now, brief comment on this, happy to chat afterwards. This is gonna impact jobs really across a lot of different industry, but since we're here, this is Social Media Marketing, Social Media Strategy Summit, it will impact jobs that are very task-oriented. So a lot of tasks will be automated, and then what we need to do is we need to be analysts and scientists and strategists and planners and really harness what's available to us through these AI technologies. So I've got some other use cases that I think I mentioned that I have a podcast called Social Business Engine. So I've got some other use cases. If you'd like to tap into any of those, just reach out to me. I'm happy to share that. Let's see here. We have about 1 minute for Q&A. I apologize, I didn't leave much more time, but certainly I'll be around. Any questions, thoughts, comments, surprises? Any surprises from anybody? You know, it's funny, standing up, kind of watching the body language and the facial expressions, a few of you kind of showed like, wow. And many of you had blank stares. So either that was me, my presentation, or what I shared with you, like, I don't know if I scared anybody. Certainly not my intent, but certainly wanted to share what is available today and really what's coming tomorrow, next week, next month. Anything? Any thoughts, comments? All right, well, thank you very much.